This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Let's roll, baby. Welcome in. Thursday edition. East Coast Bias right here for our friends on FanDuel TV. Of course, for our friends here on the Ringer Gambling Show, we welcome in Joe House, Raheem Palmer, John Zastrzemski. We have some championship week plays to get to. All sorts of college basketball over the next couple of days to dive into. We are inside the final month of the NBA regular season. Got to witness that firsthand beatdown the Knicks gave the Philadelphia 76ers. And House, we'll get to the NBA stuff in a minute. You're mad that I didn't share that pick in the group chat, but I gave it to you on Monday on the pod. What do you want from me?
You got to follow up. Remember, I'm old, buddy. I hear Monday. We swept the slate on Monday, the East Coast Bias boys. Every pick that we gave out there, the Suns-Cavs number landed at six, ended up being a push, but otherwise, great job by us. But you got to hook night by night. I need the input, JJ. Remember.
What do we think the etiquette has got to be now for our group chat? As far as I almost feel as if you give it out on the pod, it's almost like fair game that it's got to be remembered. But I can reiterate for our older comrade, our older co-host, Joe House, I'm not an ageist, man. I'm more than willing to help out if we got winners. I guess I got to be more proactive, Raheem, about posting everything I need to post in our group chat.
Yeah, what it comes down to is you got to give out the games for that day. Because after that day, after the 24 hours, all of us are going to forget. So at the end of the day, you cash that ticket on the New York Knicks. The Knicks got Anunoby back. And if they can get Randle back, they can make a run.
Well, that's my hope. We'll get to some NBA basketball coming up in a little bit. Let's start the proceedings here, gentlemen, with the first couple of days of NFL free agency. So when we were doing our podcast on Monday, it had become official that Russell Wilson was a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I guess more than anything, and we kind of hit on this, House, when we looked at the odds to win the NFC South, and I was kind of taken aback that, wow, they're putting Atlanta as a clear-cut favorite to win this division, even though we have no idea at the moment for who their quarterback is going to be. Well, clearly the odds makers and clearly FanDuel had an idea and had an inkling that Kirk Cousins was going to be the Atlanta Falcons quarterback. He leaves Minnesota. He goes to the Falcons. Clear-cut, hands down, team to beat, you think, in this division?
I wouldn't say clear-cut or hands down. It's the NFC South. I mean, the only thing that's clear-cut, hands down, is that the Carolina Panthers are going to stink once again this upcoming season. But as between Tampa and New Orleans and Atlanta, it still feels pretty tight to me. I like Atlanta. I like what they did. I like the coaching overhaul. I like maximizing, finally, all these assets they have on offense. You're going to invest on the offensive side every year in the draft and then have bums trying to throw the ball. It doesn't make any sense. At least there's alignment now. There's an organizational principle that makes sense for Atlanta, but I don't say that they're heads and shoulders above Tampa or New Orleans. And once again, those teams are all going to have, you know, relatively easy schedules. When we do strength of schedule, sit down and map it out, those three teams are going to be in the upper half because they get to play each other and they get to play the Panthers.
So I got to push back on that because the Panthers made some very interesting moves in free agency. They traded for Deontay Johnson, who was in Pittsburgh. They finally have a receiver. They signed guard Robert Hunt. JJ, that's your guy from the Dolphins.
Gave him $100 million, Raheem. Not too shabby for Robert Hunt. Not too bad, man. $100 million.
They also signed Damian Lewis. So they fixed some of their biggest issues, which was the offensive line and the receiving corps. And to me, Bryce Young never really had a shot last year. Now, when it comes to Atlanta Falcons, we all know that they have all the weapons and all the pieces surrounding Kirk Cousins that you would need in order to make a deep run, win the NFC South. However, Kirk Cousins is 35 years old. He's coming off an Achilles injury. What is Kirk Cousins at this point? So those are the question marks I have. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they gave all that money to Baker Mayfield. We just don't know if he's going to perform the way he did last year. And then when it comes to the New Orleans Saints, this is a team that's just cap strong. They spent a ton of money. They just continue to try to compete for the postseason when they should be blowing this thing up. So I wouldn't be surprised if this thing went anywhere. So I don't think the Falcons at minus 110 have any value at all.
Totally with you on the idea that it's going to bottom out with the New Orleans Saints. But Raheem, now you look at the NFC and the big moves in the NFC, and we'll get to the other big one. And you threw this out, speaking of the group chat, as a number and a team that maybe, dare I say, we should get invested in. I'll get to that particular team in a moment, but would you look at Atlanta as a team that can go and play with the big boys in this conference? That means San Francisco, that means Philly and Dallas, that means the Detroit Lions, the upper echelon teams? Or do you look at Atlanta and say, yeah, they might be the best in the NFC South, but they're a clear cut and clear notch below those teams that are contending in the NFC? Where do you stand on the Falcons from that standpoint?
I think if Kirk Cousins is what he was in the past, pre-injury, then they can definitely compete, because the Atlanta Falcons had all of the tools to go to the playoffs last year. A lot of people bet their win total over, but Desmond Ridder was absolutely horrible, and Taylor Heineke wasn't that much better. So if you add in a veteran quarterback like Kirk Cousins, to me, the sky is the limit with this team, because they have a ton of pieces around them.
Looking right now, Atlanta 13-1 house, by the way. Sorry to cut you off there. 13-1 to win the NFC, in case you're wondering.
The reason to be bullish is because you imagine that Raheem Morris is going to be able to continue the progress that they made on defense. Their defense was quietly trending in the correct direction. They made some very good free agent acquisitions. They bolstered their secondary in the offseason preceding the 2023 NFL year. And the defense is not the reason that they ended up in the middle of the pack and below expectations in the NFC South. It was, you know, the quarterback play. You could just look at one position and say, this is what ruined our season and sent Arthur Smith on his way.
And you almost now, because of what's happened these first couple of days of free agency, Huss, there are certain teams that you thought, oh, are they going to be in the quarterback market? Are they not going to be in the quarterback market? Team like New England, they're picking third overall. They're going to be in the quarterback market. Team like Vegas, you know, I thought Vegas for sure would be looking to get their future quarterback. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But they go and bring in the stash, Gardner Minshew, who you know is going to be their week one starter when it's all said and done. And then we're still waiting for what that Justin Fields domino is going to be, because you can't imagine he's going to end up back in Chicago. Even if they don't get an offer they like, you go and take Caleb Williams, number one overall, just think about the firestorm you're going to have if Justin Fields is sitting there and all of a sudden Caleb Williams isn't playing well to start the year. It's just like, no. You got to choose a quarterback. You got to choose a course of action. You got to go from there. But are you looking at any of these teams here, House, and trying to plant where Justin Fields might be playing next year? Because I thought for sure, by the time we were doing this Thursday edition of East Coast Bias, Justin Fields will have a new home. Well, guess what? We're sitting here. He doesn't have a new home.
It must be the case that Chicago, in mapping out the way this offseason is going to go, they clearly haven't gotten the offer that they want, and they think that they are going to just be patient and let the leverage play out. Let all the chips land in terms of the draft, and then from there, see what kind of leverage they have. I will tell you the one team that I really hope Justin Fields does not go to, and it's the New York Giants, because I think that the Giants are going to get better at the skill positions by way of the draft, and it's a big blow to the Giants' offense for Saquon, the jack of all trades, to be out of there. But I honestly think that Brian Daboll with Justin Fields could be pretty potent, pretty formidable. And Justin Fields is still capable of being molded. So I'm rooting against that quite a bit. But otherwise, you know, there are still some head scratches out there. Are the Minnesota Vikings really going to show up for the first game of this upcoming 2024 season and put Sam Darnold out there as their quarterback? They're going to ask the good, hardworking people of Minnesota to pay money to go see Sam Darnold as their starting quarterback? Is that really what we're supposed to believe, Dream?
Yeah, it's very disheartening. I don't know what they were watching the last 5 years, him with the Jets, him with the Panthers, him with the 49ers, that would make you say this guy is going to be a starting quarterback. And, I mean, you look at the guys on their roster, Jaren Hall. I mean, they need to be drafting a quarterback. And when it comes to Justin Fields, I mean, he's in a tough position because it feels like the quarterback dominoes around the league are starting to fall. And you mentioned the Giants, but I don't even see that as a realistic location because they paid Daniel Jones all that money last year. And the thing with Justin Fields is not only do you have to give up draft capital, if he's any good, you're going to have to pay him next year. So that is one of the barriers that's keeping Justin Fields from getting a job right now.
Yeah, problematic. And remember, the Giants gave the big financial commitment to Daniel Jones, and they just took one of their second-round picks and traded it to the Carolina Panthers in that Brian Burns deal, which, by the way, was a fantastic move by Joe Shane and company, considering Carolina a couple of years ago was looking to get two first-round picks for Brian Burns, which, by the way, was absolutely outrageous, to go and get themselves the second and sixth. They get a better player for the offer they ended up getting for Leonard Williams. So all in all, I think Joe Shane did A-okay, New York Giant general manager. When we come back, fellas, Raheem gave out a team in our group chat that we should be looking to invest in. And that team just made a big splash in free agency surrounding the running back. And maybe this March is all about the running back renaissance, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, because a lot of running backs got paid and a lot of running backs found new homes. I think two of them could be rather impactful, and we'll get to that first one. We come back. East Coast Bias Boys, we're just getting warmed up. Bet the NBA with a no sweat same game parlay from FanDuel every Thursday with TNT Thursdays. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get bonus bets back if your same game parlay doesn't win on any NBA on TNT game. NBA same game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance to score a bigger payday. And as you know, East Coast Bias Boys have put together a little SGP action for Dallas, Oklahoma City. You want to check that out? FanDuel Sportsbook app and ride with the boys. However you want to play, just head to FanDuel.com/gamblers to bet the NBA with a no-sweat same-game parlay with TNT Thursdays. That's FanDuel.com/gamblers. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21-plus and present in select states. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit TheRinger.com/RG. Minimum 3-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund, $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. So, Saquon Barkley goes heel. Leaves the Giants. And by the way, these idiots out there who are going to get on Saquon Barkley for leaving, that's exactly what they are. They're idiots. He wanted to be a Giant. He wanted to stay. Listen, the Giants and the way they operate, Joe Shane wasn't going to pay a running back. That's how he rolls. He's kind of got that new school adage. He came in 2 years ago. He didn't draft Saquon Barkley. So Saquon wanted to come back. Giants didn't want him back. He gets to free agency. Hey, guess what? You get to pick where you get to go play. So Raheem, the minute this move went down, you put it in the chat, Philadelphia Eagles. Great value in that 14, 15, 16 to 1 range to go and win the Super Bowl. I love it, dude. And normally I'm skeptical on running backs coming in and having a world of difference and making this insane impact. That team is loaded. They got two good, high quality receivers. It's the best offensive line he's ever played with. And that includes even losing Jason Kelce to retirement. You throw in the Jalen Hurts dual threat factor. I think Saquon Barkley is going to feast in Philadelphia. And Raheem, I think that number, even with the Kelce and Fletcher Cox retirements in the NFC, is a number we want to jump on.
Yeah, I think the Eagles just had a down year last year. Obviously, Brian Johnson, he was not very popular in Philadelphia. You replace him with Kellen Moore. You bring in Saquon Barkley. And Kellen Moore has proven it. He'll run the ball. And Saquon Barkley is a weapon that is just absolutely dangerous. Now, we don't know what the offensive line is going to be, but we know that defensive line for the Eagles is going to remain dangerous. And then they brought guys back like Jalen Mills. They brought guys back like C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I think the Eagles at 16-1, there's value on them. I just don't see a lot of teams competing with them. And I expect a bounce back year from Jalen Hurts. This was a guy who was a little banged up last year. This team was 10-1 last year, and they just slipped during the second half of the year. I think this is a bounce back season for them. And I think when you go into the season, you're not going to see a 16-1.
So I will remind everybody, first of all, shocker, me and Dream in agreement, but a month ago on this very program, the three of us sat down, looked at Super Bowl futures right after the Super Bowl, you know, new odds out. We're like, let's try and see if there's some stuff that catches our eye. The Philadelphia Eagles were sitting there at 17-1, and I made an impassioned case for why in the abstract, I thought that was a good number. We know what their schedule coming up in 2024 is going to contain. It's not the division winner schedule, so that all by itself is a boon. They get the NFC South. That's a boon. And the thing with the Eagles is their defense fell apart. I mean, their secondary was atrocious. Well, I love what they just did by bringing in some upfront help with Bryce Huff, and then the return of C.J. Gardner-Johnson. That can't be easily dismissed. He went to Detroit and got hurt. And barely played any football for them, but coming back now, and especially with our guy Vic Fangio, who, you know, this was his desired team in you know, the offseason preceding the 2023 season. He didn't say I want to be in Miami. He said he wanted to be in Philly. Well, they made it happen. They still don't have any linebackers in Philadelphia, so remains to be seen. And I'm not so sure that offensive line is, you know, I would plug them in as a top three line right away. But, you know, in terms of the parts that they have, they're definitely loaded. They have playoff ambition. They have deep run ambition in the playoffs. So I like it as well.
And if you're going to tell me that Saquon Barkley can stay on the field, he's going to produce at an extremely high level. And I think he, with Kellen Moore now calling the plays, you mentioned it, how's the idea that they bring in Fangio, who was on the staff as a consultant 2 years ago, goes to Miami. I know the players didn't like him. They still had a top 10 defense. There's something to be said for that. He is going to get better results out of that defense. So from a value standpoint, there's no doubt 16-1 is a great number on the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, a bunch of running backs found new homes. If there's one house that kind of caught your eye other than Saquon, Henry ends up in Baltimore. Jacobs ends up in Green Bay. Aaron Jones finds his way to Minnesota. Was there a move amongst the running backs where you're like, that moves the needle for me?
Well, the one I like best was Josh Jacobs, but I do want to get on record right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. They are starting to put up some player props. They have a Derrick Henry prop sitting there right now. His rushing total is at 975. And a half rushing yards for this upcoming season. I might have to borrow some money from the Podfather to invest in that under, because I just don't see. I think he can be an enormous success there, but that is a franchise that loves running back by committee. Like, you know, what makes sense for them is, you know, using Derrick Henry in short yardage or for some of that ground and pound kind of stuff, but they're such a versatile offense. He's not going to get enough touches, I don't think, to get to that anywhere near that number. And pay attention to the offensive line in Baltimore. There's only two guys left from their starting five last year. Now, they're two very good guys, Ronnie Stanley and Tyler, I'm going to say his name wrong.
Lindenbaum.
Lindenbaum. I knew I was going to say it. But that's just on my guy, Derrick Henry, the Baltimore situation. I think Josh Jacobs to Green Bay is the most dynamic situation. I really love the possibilities of what the Packers can do. I honestly think that what we saw from Aaron Jones in the final few games of the season and the playoffs is a version of what they hope to have out of Josh Jacobs. The problem with Aaron Jones is he can't stay healthy. And so I think it was perfectly reasonable of them to say goodbye. This Josh Jacobs move to me is like Green Bay saying, we got something here. We're going to go try and get something done. I really was impressed by that dream.
So there was a running back move, and I don't know if this necessarily moves the needle on its own, but the moves around it did. So the Houston Texans, they signed Joe Mixon, but they also signed Danielle Hunter. They also signed Danico Autry, and they also signed quarterback Jeff Okuda. You look at the Houston Texans right now, they are 20-1 to win the Super Bowl on FanDuel Sportsbook. Now, I don't necessarily want to grab the 20-1 on the Houston Texans, but I look at that team, and the biggest market efficiency in the NFL is a quarterback, a stud quarterback on a rookie deal. I look at C.J. Stroud, 4,100 yards last year, 23 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. And for a large part of that season, most of his offensive line was in the hospital. He didn't have a ton of weapons. Well, guess what? He has everything around him this year. I like C.J. Stroud 11-1 to win MVP because he's playing in a weak division. And I think this team could win 11, 12 games, exceed expectations. This team is stacked. Give me C.J. Stroud to win MVP. That's an early bet for me.
How about that? Texans right now, plus 150 to win the AFC South. The market finally has it right with the Texans at plus 150, Jacksonville at plus 240, Colts plus 270, and any rebuilding, retooling Tennessee Titans at 7-1. Now, when you think about big winners, big losers, free agency, just thinking about it now. Seems like, Raheem, you're in on the Texans. I think Philadelphia, definitely by adding Saquon, can put themselves in that mix. You know, you got to be careful, Houston, just looking at the teams that spend a gazillion dollars, because I think the NFL and the history of the NFL kind of tells us that if you just think spending and throwing all your money at your problems is going to be the end result in fixing a team, I think you're gravely mistaken. Like, I'll give you an example. And this
the Podfather can tell you the New England Patriots spent all that money,
bingo,
and they sucked.
Bingo. Well, how about the Jets in Mike McCagnan's 15, the Gaze year was 2018. They go and sign Le'Veon Bell and C.J. Mosley, and Tremaine Johnson was just an absolute disaster, and the team never really reaped the benefits of that. That all being said, the Raiders, to me, the team that I'd be very careful of. Everyone's talking about, and I love Christian Wilkins. He's a terrific, terrific player. The idea of giving a defensive tackle who's not named Chris Jones $27 million a year is just, it's absurd. Like, I look at contracts like that, and that's where it's like, buyer beware, buyer beware, buyer beware. So is there a team, Raheem, that you're looking at? How's you looking at where you're like, wow, I like what they did in free agency? Is there another team you're like, man, I'm out on them. They spent way too much. This ain't going to work out. Is there one that profiles Dream?
I don't really have one. I mean, as of right now, what are you guys thinking?
It's interesting. That Raider contract with Wilkins, and I love the guy. I absolutely love the guy. I saw the numbers. I almost spit out my coffee house. I couldn't believe how crazy that contract was.
JJ, that's just the Raiders being the Raiders. Like, they've been doing that for decades. They love to throw money around like it's candy. It's in the Davis bloodline. But look, I want you guys to give me credit. We're now a full 20 minutes into today's program, and we're just not getting around. Fellas, I'm right next to me. I can't show it on screen here. We're on FanDuel TV. We keep it proper on here. I've got a bushel full of giant purple eggplants next to me because I am that excited for what this Washington football team has done in this offseason. A new sheriff is in town. His name is Adam Peters. And you know what? Everybody in Washington is losing their minds because we're seeing team building occurring according to a game plan, according to a rational organizing principle. We're getting second-tier veterans, guys capable of leadership. Frankie Louvu. Yeah, bring in Frankie. I love him. We got Dan Quinn tapping all of his connections in Denver. We've got, I mean, Dallas. We got three Dallas Cowboys, including their starting center here in Washington. It's all upside. The number one acquiring team in this free agency thus far, the Washington Seawords. And I don't really have any quibble with a single one of the moves that they made. 9 picks coming up in this upcoming draft. It is a brand new team. Now, I'll save some of my prognostication for when we get to win total time, but I'm just here to say I'm very bullish.
Somebody will be betting it over. And it looks like the Podfather is aligned with your thought process and decision-making, because it seems like he also wants to get invested in the Commanders. Did you get your Austin Eckler Washington jersey yet? Or do I have to get that for you, Haas, at some point in time?
I have my Marcus Mariota. I got that one first.
Well, what we do need to do, Raheem, is we got to chip in whenever House has his new quarterback, and he will at the end of April in the draft. I feel like I need to go down to D.C. House, Raheem and I have to present you with the new jersey that you'll be wearing on the first Ring of Wise Guys show up in September.
You know what? Just put Peters on the back of it. I want the GM. I'll rep that dude hard all day long.
Well, fellas, to wrap up this free agency conversation, our friends at FanDuel put together some fun, bizarre player specials already. They're bizarre because it's like March, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe I'm thinking about player specials on Kirk Cousins and on Russell Wilson. But how about this, Raheem? Kirk Cousins to throw 35-plus touchdowns, because 30 is no fun. 35-plus touchdowns plus 450. Any takers?
I can't take it just because he's coming off the Achilles injury. That's just, I honestly, if anything, I'd be looking under. And in the fact that they have those running backs, I expect them to run the ball a little bit more. So I can't do it.
Fair. Listen, I'm just trying to find some value in any of these. Like 4,000 regular season passing yards, it's no fun at minus 125. It's no fun. And then 30-plus regular season passing touchdowns is at plus 150. House, they also have Russell Wilson props. The problem is FanDuel does not give us the opportunity to bet the unders at this point. They're only throwing up the specials if you want to go and bet the overs. Russell Wilson, 25-plus touchdowns, is at plus 175. And then we get just silly with some of these. 4,000 Russell Wilson passing yards, plus 650. I mean, I'm out on all of them. Sorry, FanDuel. No dice, right?
They're all unders. As soon as we get the chance to do Russell Wilson unders, I'm on every one of them.
So they have Saquon Barkley over 6.5 rushing touchdowns. This guy has only gone over that twice in his career. So, I mean, it's tough sledding right now.
Well, and not only that, think about the vulturing that he's going to have to deal with now, because if they're inside the 5-yard line, it's like Jalen Hurts is going to get every touchdown.
Hey, that's the thing. Let's be smart bettors here. What do you think was the point of acquiring Saquon Barkley, a guy who can line up behind center?
All right, boys, when we come back, we'll turn our attention to the NBA as I was dancing, watching OG Anunoby back for my New York Knickerbockers. What a sight for sore eyes. And what last Thursday's Nuggets-Celtics game maybe taught us about some of the lessons that we may have coming down the pike in May and June. And is there still maybe some value on last year's reigning champs? All that more. Come right back. All right, let's do some NBA. House, I'm sorry about not giving you the Nick text on Tuesday. Now that it's 25 minutes into the show, you know what? I should have been a bigger person. I should have reminded you. But what's done is done. And the Knicks now have OG Anunoby back in their lives. That is a huge deal. You know, as hapless as they looked on offense Sunday, it seemed like all of their problems just like immediately disappeared. The minute Anunoby comes back, his plus minus is ridiculous. The Knicks record when he plays since January is ridiculous. I think the Knicks are going to find their way to one of those four top seeds in the Eastern Conference, House. I really do.
That's the most impressive thing about the Knicks, that they're still in that four position, even with all. Now, it's like razor thin, super tight between the Knicks, the Magic, and the Pacers. Barely a game and a half separate those teams. But quietly, Cleveland has been a little bit mediocre lately. Again, they have their own sort of injury situation, 5-5 over their last 10 on a two-game losing streak, the Cavs. So it's not inconceivable of those four teams, Cleveland, New York, or Orlando, Indiana, we're going to be doing some shuffling. But I really, this next season, JJ, you're living it. It's got to feel magical up there. Like everybody loves, in New York, loves that team. The Josh Hart triple-double this week against the Sixers. I mean, you know, Josh, everybody's giving Josh Hart call-outs. I'm really impressed with the Knicks. It's the most Tibbs team of all the Tibbs teams that you can imagine. So if they could just get one or two more, Randall obviously is huge, but even Mitchell Robinson back and playing with his active defense would be a huge help to the situation, Dream.
Yeah, it's a matter of this team could just stay healthy, because I think outside of the Boston Celtics, the Eastern Conference is wide open. And I just want to say that I'm out on the Milwaukee Bucks. Look, coming out of the All-Star break, a lot of people looked at this team. They were playing good defense against, you know, lower-tier teams like the Charlotte Hornets and the Chicago Bulls. But this recent West Coast road trip, I mean, they've been bleeding points on the defensive end of the court. I mean, you saw D'Angelo Russell absolutely take this team into the deep waters and drown them. And then, you know, the Sacramento Kings, they put up 129 points on this Bucks team. So we're seeing that this Bucks team can't stop anybody. With Adrian Griffin, with Doc Rivers, it just does not matter. And right now, Damian Lillard doesn't look like the same guy. And so I'm out on this Bucks team. So I look at this New York Knicks team as a team who, if they can stay healthy, they have a real shot. And I know the Philadelphia 76ers are banged up. If Joel Embiid was out there, they would be a legitimate Eastern Conference candidate. But it's unfortunate because all of these teams are so banged up. You look at Donovan Mitchell. He's missed 5-6 games coming out of the All-Star break. So it's just a matter of who's going to stay healthy. But right now, the Boston Celtics look like they have the Eastern Conference on lock.
Yeah, they look like, hands down, clear cut, the best team in the Eastern Conference. Now, that said, Raheem, last Thursday, and I know it's almost a week, we saw the Celtics match up with the Nuggets. And I'll admit when I was wrong, we gave out a perfect Monday East Coast bias card. I was, house credit where credit is due. You like Denver, you couldn't bet against the Joker. And he was magnificent in that game against Boston. Boston matching up with Denver, any team for that matter, matching up with Denver. That's got to be concerning, Raheem, after what they saw the other night. Because, hey, they're the champs. They got the best player in the sport. That's tough to overcome, dude.
You know, Ryan Russillo said it best on the Podfathers pod on a Sunday. It just felt like everything that the Denver Nuggets do is just easier. It's just like when you look at the Boston Celtics, obviously they missed a ton of threes, but you look at this Denver Nuggets team, like they've only shot like 20% from three in their two wins against the Boston Celtics. So they're not even playing their A game. And it's just so much easier. Jokic can score whenever he wants. If you double Jokic, he's going to hit the open guy. It's just, they just have no answer for him. And it's unfortunate, but this Boston Celtics team, they're probably the deepest team in the league, but Jason Tatum has to elevate. He has to reach that next tier for this Celtics team to reach their potential. And I'm not sure he's up for the task, because right now, I mean, you're just seeing a ton of inconsistency, and you're seeing that lack of alpha. You're seeing that lack of clutch gene. And against the Denver Nuggets, I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off.
Just to pick up on Dream's point there, I honestly think that Denver's biggest challenge in terms of repeating as champions is coming from the West.
And wow. Okay. So not the Celtics. Interesting.
No, definitely not. Definitely
very
not.
Interesting.
They,
okay.
They know if they show up healthy, if they have all the guys healthy, they are not concerned one bit with the Celtics. I feel like they stared right into that team's soul. Remember, it was Denver on the road who ended the Celtics' home winning streak. And Denver had lost the night before to a team that they had no business losing to. I can't remember. Maybe it was Philly. I have to go back and look. But they went into Boston. The game was nip and tuck all the way through. It came down to execution time. And Denver looked right at him and said, we're going to score. We're going to score. And now you guys have better execute inside this last minute or else we're going to win the game. And they went and did it. And what we saw from them last week in that game, I think that's just them validating that win that they had in Boston when they ended that streak. It's just a tough matchup for Boston when you sit down and map out the X's and the O's. And to Dream's point, some of that alpha thing is a real thing, JJ.
Okay. You said something there. I got to piggyback off of this immediately, House. You said their biggest threat is a team in the Western Conference. Okay. So you don't believe it's Boston. Who would that team be in the Western Conference, Mr. House?
I don't have the answer immediately, but I do have some
candidates. It's open-ended. That's it. It's open-ended.
And I do subscribe to something in our group chat.
Group chat getting a lot of love in today's show, by the way.
A lot of love.
Let me say, group chat right now is really, it's like the fourth host on the show, you know?
So some smart stuff occasionally gets said in there over the course of these days. Who do I have to give credit to for the Phoenix Suns? I'll give the credit to whoever it's due.
I want to say Sim. I just hate just crediting Sim blindly, but I actually think it was him, believe it or not. I do.
Yeah, so, it definitely was him.
Yeah, so, you know, a couple things about the Suns. First of all, we watched them go toe-to-toe with Denver. They are perfectly built to beat Denver, really the only way you can beat them, which is to outscore them. Because you can't out-physical them. You can't out, you know, you're not going to try and slow the game down. You have to outscore them. Phoenix is formidable if all their guys are healthy. They had a really interesting game plan. They played Nurkic and Eubanks 53 minutes and used up every one of those guys' fouls. And what that did was it got them to overtime where they went ahead and beat the Nuggets. But I thought that was a really interesting, innovative kind of approach. Now, the everything with the Suns comes down to their big three, those guys being healthy. They've played together only maybe 15 times this season, 20 times. There's been six instances where all three guys score 20 points. They are a perfect 6-0. So when you're getting down into a playoff series where the circumstances around the game planning, the matchups change because you're just playing one team to get to four wins, I think that the Suns are alive. I agree with the Podfather putting it out there. I'm picking it up, fellas.
Raheem. Western Conference, you see value in Phoenix at 20-something to 1, not only to win the West, to win the whole thing.
So this one's tough for me. I think right now, when it comes to the Western Conference, I really want to see the bracket before I do anything, because I think the bracket is going
sounds
to be
like March Madness, by the way, Raheem. You know, it's like me thinking about next week. It's as much as I want to fire on some of these, you really do bring up a good point, because matchups, right? College and in the pros, they really determine a lot.
Yeah, and particularly this year, because you have two teams in the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Minnesota Timberwolves who are first and third in the West. And to me, both of those teams are very vulnerable because of the youth. And when it comes to the Minnesota Timberwolves, it's because of the injury to Karl Anthony Towns. So ideally, you want to play one of those two teams. And I look at the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're first in the Western Conference. If they were to play the Lakers, I'm all over the Lakers. Because I think the Lakers can just bully this team, which is what they've done all season long. Now, you look at the Denver Nuggets, they're second. Let's say the Suns slip to 7. That just puts them in a bad spot. So I don't really want to take any futures on any teams right now, just because I think the matchups are really going to determine so much.
Guys, speaking of matchups, when we come back, there are some brackets for conference tournaments. I have a couple more long shots. I gave out Clemson on Monday's pod. We'll see if Clemson is still alive and kicking by the time the end of the weekend rolls around. But I have two more that I'm going to unveil, one in the Big Ten, the other in the SEC. And I need to get my Mr. Golf, Mr. House, his thoughts on maybe a player's play for some of those afternoon tea times that may be coming up. All that and more coming right back. All right, welcome back. We got a big weekend on tap. Golf, going to have a hell of a couple of days at the Players. Scottie Scheffler playing as well as anybody, making putts. When he's making putts, he's unstoppable. Then you have Rory McIlroy, and then you have a bunch of other guys in that 20-something-to-1 range. We'll also get to all the college basketball you have coming up this weekend. So, House, it is Thursday morning. So obviously some of these guys are not going to be available on the board as we speak. But for a Thursday afternoon player to keep an eye on and maybe go and make a run at the players, who are we looking at, dude, over the next 4 days?
Yeah, still an opportunity to make an investment in two names that I like this week. I like Justin Thomas a lot this upcoming week. He's really resurrected his ball striking after last year ended up being a full-on washout, including his performance at the Ryder Cup. Gutsy performance, but, you know, execution-wise, he was bad. I liked a lot. Trend line for him over the first handful of tournaments this year. Looks like he's kind of back in Justin Thomas form, and he's won at this venue. And I also really, really, really like Will Zalatoris. And a lot of that is just rooting for the kid. He had to miss all of last season with a back injury, virtually the whole season with a back injury. He's literally back and has been collecting, you know, top 15, top 10, top 5 performances, reminding us of his potential to go out and win the very biggest tournaments. The Players, not quite, you know, the fifth major anymore with all the guys on LIV, but still an extraordinary strength of field. And the cream of the crop tend to win this golf tournament. Those are two guys that fit that category, JJ.
Fascinating. Do you like House in general taking a guy who's already won the Players, or do you try to find the first-time winner? Do you have a feel on that?
So there are certain indicators. This tournament in particular, you need guys that have experience playing at this venue, and it's really about reps at TPC Sawgrass. So I don't mind a first-time winner. Will Zalatoris would be a first-time winner, but you need to have on your resume loops at this joint.
Fair enough. Okay, Raheem, I have at the moment the odds to win the title for the March Madness extravaganza that kicks off next week. Now, I have two future plays I'm going to add for the conference tournaments, but I want to give you these odds, Raheem, and you stop me when you hear something that is intriguing to you. Connecticut, if you're not in, just be quiet. When you're ready to pounce, you stop me here. Connecticut, +480. Houston, +650. Purdue, +750. Arizona, 14-1. Tennessee, 14-1. Auburn, 20-1. Carolina, 22-1.
That's the one.
22-1. Hey!
That's what I'm riding with. I'm riding with Carolina Blue.
Carolina, 22-1. Duke, 25-1. Don't make that bet. I've watched enough of Duke. They are incredibly soft. They have not won a big game all year. I'm out on Duke. Creighton, I like that, 25-1. And they match up well with UConn, too. You're going to see that maybe at the Big East tournament this week. They got shooters galore. They're the sort of team that could get hot over a couple of days, but they crushed me. Last year, if you guys remember, I had them to go to the Final Four, and it was like a real juicy ticket. I think it was like 8-1 or 10-1, and they choked the Elite Eight game away. I think they were even favored in the Elite Eight game. I was so disgusted about that. Kentucky, though, 25-1. That's
mine. The one you gave out on Monday, and I like that one. And 25-1. That's one I want to trail.
Now, you watched them the other day, Raheem, as did I, because I gave it out Monday. Gonzaga, 65-1. Same price as St. Mary's at 65-1. Normally, Gonzaga, we're talking about them. You're getting really good odds. I mean, you're usually getting Gonzaga in like the 15-20-1 range. After watching them on Monday night, would you have any inkling in taking them to go on a deep run, Raheem, or no?
I have no interest.
Why? Just not physical enough, right? That was my feeling. Yeah,
not at all. Not at all. So, you know, and I looked at that line the other night. It was so funny because they blew out San Francisco, and you saw they come back. They had already blown out St. Mary's earlier in the year, and they're only laying like 2.5. And it just felt shady. So this is one I'll be staying away from.
How St. Mary's, though, you like them. You're going to play them to go deep in the tournament, right? You want Final Four odds.
Yeah. Do you have a Final Four situation for me with them?
I do, actually. Our friends at FanDuel have all of this good stuff up. It's amazing. So, Raheem, if you wanted to play Carolina to just get to the Final Four, they're at +440. House, you're going to like this. 16-1, St. Mary's to get to the Final Four.
Yeah, that has my attention. And I'll sit down, and I haven't gotten into my KenPom rankings, and I haven't gotten into all the efficiencies on both sides of the ball. And that's this time of the year. It's super fun. St. Patrick's Day weekend to get into the lab and start mapping this out. But I just will tell you from eye test, I thought that the way that St. Mary's played Gonzaga, they showed a toughness and a versatility and extraordinary guard play that are some of the most important ingredients to a deep run in this NCAA tournament. They check those boxes for me. So 16-1, little speculation out of house on St. Mary's, JJ.
I like it. Okay, we'll come back with plays for Thursday. I have two futures. I also have a play. I don't even know what the spread is yet because, first of all, I'm in the state of New York, and they don't get me started with some of these rules if for college and the idea that you can't find numbers unless you look elsewhere. It's not FanDuel's fault. It's New York State's fault. We understand that. But I want to get to that. We'll have some plays for Thursday night, maybe even SGP that we're putting our great pea brains together on. All that more. We'll wrap up East Coast Bias right after this. All right, we'll wrap it up with some plays. All right, I got two futures. Big Ten tournament's getting underway. SEC tournament's getting underway. Keep an eye on this team. Florida Gators, they are a 6 seed. They will be playing the winner of Georgia and Missouri. Florida Gators are in the softer portion of the bracket. They're 20-1. They're a tournament team, but I think they're the sort of team that could look to enhance the resume a little bit. I like their metrics. They've had success within the league. Take Florida. It's a good number, 20-1. The other one I'm looking at, you want to find teams that have decent draws. Two teams that I'm looking at in the Big Ten that have decent draws. Ohio State opened up at 30-1. They're on the bottom half of the bracket. They avoid Purdue. They're down to 25-1. I have them circled. And at Michigan State, I know they have limped in and they've been awful down the stretch. It's Izzo. It's March. They're playing their way into the tournament. There's a reason why their line is as low as it is at 10-1. So those are a couple I'm looking at as far as some futures for what we have going on this weekend. House, I got a play for you on Thursday. So write this down.
I got my highlighter. I showed it earlier. I had to highlight the CJ Stroud MVP pick that Dream gave out. Hit me with it. I got my highlighter, JJ.
St. John's Red Storm. They are not losing 3 games to Shaheen Holloway's Seton Hall Pirates. Pitino is getting his team in the tournament. This is a game he has to have. They got embarrassed by Seton Hall and yucked up a big lead, and that was the game he called out his team on. The first game he missed because he had COVID. Rick Pitino in an evenly matched matchup. You know, this is not St. John's against UConn where it's like, yeah, they're going to lose 3 times because they're not as good. These teams are far more evenly matched. St. John's needs the game a lot more. St. John's, they win, they cover, and they'll be dancing. We'll be talking about Pitino next week.
So I have a question for you because St. John's has been a first half team all year long. You mentioned the game against Seton Hall. They were up double digits and they blew it. Would you recommend a bet on the first half as opposed to a full game?
I don't have a problem with a first half bet, Raheem. And I know a lot of the numbers are going to indicate as such. I just am very confident in their ability to go and win this game. They played very well down the stretch. I know they beat up on some soft competition. They beat Georgetown twice. They beat DePaul, but they did have a nice home win against Creighton. And I just think you're going to get a super jazzed up, super charged up afternoon Garden crowd that's been waiting for a moment where St. John's has given them something to feel good about. They haven't made it to Friday night in a Big East tournament. I think it's like in over 25 years. So I'm in on that. First half game, all of the above. St. John's is going to take care of business. All right, quickly, guys. Plays, Thursday, NBA. What do you got, Raheem?
I'm going to go with the Boston Celtics, Phoenix Suns, under 231.5. We all know that Boston Celtics defense is for real. The one thing about the Phoenix Suns, even when they have all their guys, this is not a prolific three-point shooting team. This is a team that likes to shoot a ton in the mid-range. So I'm going to go under here. These two teams played about a week ago. It was about 107, 117, something like that. So I think we get a similar type game, this goes under.
House, hit me.
I'm going to take that St. John's leg that you just offered up, JJ, and put it together with two Thursday night legs. The Houston Rockets are not losing to the Washington Wizards. No D. They're the Wizards. So Houston at home, Moneyline parlay, Houston at home, Milwaukee at home against the Sixers. Sixers are in the middle of a quiet fade. Milwaukee, Houston, St. John's, Redmond, moneyline parlay, three-legger right there. That's going to be some plus odds. I didn't put it into the combobulator to come up with a number yet, but I like the way that's going to play out.
And you could add the Knicks against Portland, make it a four-legger and get nuts. How about that? Two-team New York, New York, St. John's, Knicks taking care of business. I like that. We'll have an SGP on FanDuel. Dallas, Oklahoma City. You want to check that out? The boys are out. Good job by Stephon. We're back Monday. We'll have a bracket in front of us. And then we're back on FanDuel TV Thursday. Be good, everybody. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and Vermont. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.